Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for this season of Teshuvah. Lord, we thank you for conviction. We thank you that you bring us to a place where we repent. And Lord, and we're humble in your awesome presence and your might. I thank you for this new day, for this new word, and for all good things that come down from you, God. Bless this time. May it glorify you and give you praise. Help us to remember all the things, God, that you've blessed us with. And help us to keep our eyes on you. You're the lifter of our head, our Lord and our God. And we love you this day. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. All right. Title of my message today is just, Who Do You Think You Are? Uh-oh. Coleman's going to beat us up spiritually. I got news for you. I am not going to do that. You know why? It's because it says you are to humble yourself. Doesn't the word say to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord? As you draw close to the Lord, you will be humbled. I don't have to do any humbling for you. I will make you aware of what God's word says. But we are to humble ourselves. Amen? And he will lift us up. And that's what I want to do today is to, I do want to lift your spirits today and encourage you. I brought you the gospel of the good news of the Lord, and it's all good news. Amen. And we need good news today. And you know what? No matter what is looming over your head, I don't care if it's psychological problems, financial problems, fear problems, whatever's over your head, it is still under the feet of Jesus. Under the feet of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Hallelujah. So be encouraged. God is in control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The message has to do with the attitudes of your mind. I'm going to help bring you clarity of mind, which leads to the capacity to minister or to be ministered to. Clarity of mind will lead to the capacity to minister and be ministered to. Amen? The Lord gave me that when I was in my little room that I always tell you about. I'm looking for that thing and I already took off a different one. There we go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank the Lord for water. Amen? H2O. Yes, and our living water that is in us. Hallelujah. The enemy of our soul is going to bring everything against us he can right now at this season before the fall holy days. And I'm sure some of you have already been battling and people have said things. The devil has spoken through other people. But remember, our enemy is not people. It is principalities and powers of evil in the heavenly realms. And we need to remember that our enemy is the enemy of our soul, not our neighbor, not anyone that walks in the flesh, you know. You're either used by God or used by the enemy sometimes when you don't take hold of the things that are important, amen? But he will try to distract, distort, or deceive us from preparing for these days. And especially so that we will not have an encounter with Yeshua, amen? And that's what we're after is an encounter with our God. This entire month, as I said, is Teshuvah. And Teshuvah means returning to God. We have repented and we are in a continual state of repentance. We are to repent and we are to pray. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Amen? Amen. Prayer is just talking to God. And he loves to talk with you because that's how a relationship is, you know. If I never spoke to Jean, my wife, we wouldn't have much of a relationship. So talking to God is just establishing and keeping an ongoing love affair with your God, amen? And he'll tell you good things. He won't lie to you. When his mouth is moving, all that comes out is truth. When the devil's talking, if his lips are moving, there's lies flying. But he's a toothless lion. And greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We always remember that. God is a mighty God. You know, each week, the first week we're to pray for ourselves and repent. Look at ourselves first. You know, the priest had to repent for themselves before they could stand or go in and repent for the people. Amen? So the first week we were to repent for ourselves. That's the first week of September. The second week we were to pray for our family. That just doesn't mean our family that we're married to and our children and all that, but I mean our church family as well. Because who are your brothers? Who did Jesus say was his brothers and sisters?
Those
that do the will of his Father. Amen. Hallelujah. And thy will be done on earth. Amen. God's will be done whether we like it or not. And you either will humble yourself and participate, or you'll buck up and be cursed, and you'll be left out, or you'll be just all kinds of bad stuff. But we're to think on good stuff. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Please turn to, that was the second week. First week is pray for ourselves. Second week for our family. The third week we're to pray for the fall holy days, especially the Feast of Tabernacles. That is the longest one, the biggest one, the most messages. And pray that everyone will have safe travel here. I got good news. Dan's coming down from Canada.
Hey.
Hallelujah. And there's going to be a lot of people there. And praise God, we're looking forward to that brother. Amen. And all the brothers.
Amen.
Amen. And then the last week, just this next week, before trumpets, we are to seek God's face. So there's 4 weeks of Teshuvah. Ourself, our family, the feast, and seek God's face. Those are the 4 weeks. And I tell you what, you do those preparatory things, the more you put into the feast, the more you'll be expectant, and you can expect all good things. You can expect mighty miracles and wonderful things, because it happens every year at the feasts. Amen? Each one. And God is unique. He works in mysterious ways, and we don't know what's going to happen, but I can tell you this, it's going to be good. If we're looking up and we have a right heart for God and we're thinking rightly and not have stinking thinking, we'll be fine. If we keep looking at God and not, you know, we don't look horizontally, we look vertically. Amen? Hallelujah. The Lord gave me a really good message for the Feast of Tabernacles, and it's called Things Are Looking Up. And it was funny because someone said that this morning to me. He said, "Things are looking up." I said, "That's awesome." Hallelujah. Please turn to Acts 3. Acts chapter 3. And go to verse 19, please. What's the first word? Then we'll know you're there. This is the NIV. I always give the NIV unless I state otherwise. I don't use just NIV. For those that are listening by tape, I use whatever the Lord leads me to. Amen. As long as it's the right Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Acts 3:19 and 20. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. And here's what we want. That times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're looking for times of refreshing these fall feasts. Amen. He has wiped out our sins. He has made the ultimate sacrifice of Calvary. And without that, we would have no life. He is our life. He is our God. We sang that song this morning. You know, about him being, making the way. Well, he is the way. Hallelujah. God is so good. We must be prepared in body, in mind, in soul, and in spirit. Please turn to Luke 10:27. Luke 10:27. Did you feel the presence this morning or what? I'm telling you, it makes me cry, and I can't cry because I got to speak. Luke 10:27. Luke 10:27. one of the experts of the law was quizzing the Lord. Luke 10:27, he answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." Hallelujah. Right there. We need to... God gave himself in totality. We need to serve him in totality. Amen? You give it all. You don't want to be lukewarm. You want to go all out for God because he has all good things for you. And I'm not going to miss out. I'm not going to miss my flight. And I know y'all are not going to miss yours. Amen? Things are looking up. And that sky is going to split. And I'm telling you what, it's going to happen. You know, it seems so unbelievable. But isn't that what faith is? Is seeing what is not seen. Amen? Because you see in the Spirit. And you don't go by sight. You go by the Spirit. Amen? Because what is seen is temporal, meaning temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. Amen. And God's email is eternal. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I love God. He is so cool. Hallelujah. Please turn to Deuteronomy 11. Turn to the Torah. Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 21. Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 21. Remember, my message is about the attitude of your mind. So let's start with 18. Deuteronomy 18, 11. I'm sorry, 11, 18. Fix these words of mine in your heart and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give you. To give your forefathers as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. Amen. I thank God for long life. Amen. So, I'm not going to get off on something else. Hallelujah. Turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23. Before I tell you the verse, let me set the scene for you. This is an evil king who is having a feast. You are eating with him, but you are not in agreement with him, and he's really not in agreement with you either. The king's heart is not right. Sort of goes with Psalm 23:5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Okay, you're in Proverbs 23, right? Okay, we're going to read verse 7 in the NIV. For he is the kind of man who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Always thinking about the cost, my friends, means that the king's heart and mind was on mammon, or money. His heart, his mind and heart and thoughts were on what's in it for me and what's this going to cost me, and you know, and who can I control? Amen. It shows a heart of greed and a heart of pride. Now let's look at the same scripture in the New King James Version of Proverbs 23:7. This is where I got the title of this message. I don't know how many of you have the New King James, but in Proverbs 23:7, which we just read in the NIV, here's what it says in the New King James. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. It's worded a little different, and I wanted to share. You know, our mind is very important, what we think. Amen. And who do you think you are? I didn't mean it in that you're cocky or that you got your nose up in the air where the rain will choke you. And I've seen some of those, though. You know, I know God. And if you're blessed, you'll someday be like me and know God. Boy, the Lord hates that. There were pastors that wouldn't even come over to talk to you, wouldn't even look your way, greet you. Now they are in their little area. And most of the time it was behind the pulpit and it was away from the people, and it was always lifted up. I like in Corinth, everything's flat. Hallelujah. But it's good because I'm short and I need to see all your pretty faces. So I need to be lifted up. Amen. And God lifts me up every day. I used to be a man greatly depressed because I was an alcoholic, but I've been delivered.
Thank you. Thank you for your redemptive power, Father. Thank you.
Bless the Lord.
Woo. Thank you, Lord. Now I lost my place. Hallelujah. But I know my place in the Lord. That's the main thing, right?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
How many of us or how many people that will be at our feast, our feast days, who say they are with us and will eat with us, will be one in heart or one in mind with us? I got news for you. Not everybody's going to be. You know, there's some devils even in the church. Why? They don't need to be in the bars and in the world, because the devil knows he's got them already. And so the enemy is going to come at us in our weakness. To those who do not take captive every thought that exalts itself above Yeshua, above Jesus. Amen. Don't let the devil get in your mind. Amen. We must strive for the unity of mind and heart among ourselves as hungry hearts. I believe that's coming to fruition. I believe we are uniting ourselves. All I know is I'm getting closer and closer to the people in Corinth and closer to the people up here in Jackson, Tennessee, the hungry hearts, because these are people who are looking to God, not looking for a free meal, but looking for truth, looking for more, because there's always more. God's mysteries are deep and they are unsearchable. I don't care how many libraries there are or how many books, how many brilliant minds are out there, God is still greater. You know, as far as the new kingdom, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered the heart of man what God has for those that love Him. Amen? But read the next scripture. It says, but by the Spirit, He does reveal it. He is the great revelator. Amen? We talk about John the Revelator. Well, Jesus is the Revelator. I'm telling you what. There's so many things out there to learn. And I'm in my 60s. And I tell you what, I could live to be 120. That's the time God's given me. And I still would not know nearly enough. And I thank God that I am teachable. God has taken that heart of stone out of me and gave me a heart of flesh that I might He might be able to work with it a little bit. Nobody wants hardening of the arteries or the hardening of the arteries when it comes to giving. We need to be free from this, from clogs, amen? Yeah. Clogs of the mind, clogs of the veins, clogs of the heart. Things that would keep us from our God. Because nothing can keep us from the love of God. Nothing. You read the list in the Word. Whew. Now, if I knew it by heart, I'd tell you. But neither famine nor anything else. Anybody, you look that up. It's a good scripture. Nothing can keep us from the love of God, because it's above us, beyond us, immeasurable. Whew. Turn to 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 12. 2 Chronicles 30:12. This is talking about unity of mind. 2 Chronicles 30:12. Also in Judah, the hand of God was on the people to give them unity of mind to carry out what the king and his officials had ordered. following the word of the Lord. Folks, that's what we're to do. We're to have unity of mind. Why? What are the next words? That the king and his officials, that we can carry out what they tell us. Amen? And we are to follow the word. God is the word. Having unity of mind and heart among his people is how kingdom work gets done. This can only come by spending time in God's presence. It all is accomplished by his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I thank God for his Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, as it says in the word, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We're always looking to things, inanimate objects, people, which don't amount to much unless they are in God. Amen. As it says in Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, which I just quoted. That's where that scripture is, Zechariah 4:6. I was talking Hosea. That's some other thing. The joy of the Lord, I think, is what I was thinking of. First, turn to 1 Corinthians 12:13. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Hallelujah. Do I have that right? What does Zechariah 4:6 say? Kelly? Good, I got the right one. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. Hallelujah. I didn't mean to throw you off a little bit there. All right, 1 Corinthians 12:13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. That's the Spirit we're to take in, not the evil spirits, amen? And they are out there. There is an enemy of our soul. There are evil spirits, because you read about them in the Word. And a lot of people go crazy thinking about the devil and about deliverance, about all this other stuff. But I tend to want to think about God's Spirit, amen? About the good things that He tells us to think about. That's right. Greater is He that is in us. That's the main one. That's a good one. Wait, it said in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart. I thought we... It says... I thought we think in our mind, not our hearts. The truth is, there are thoughts in your heart, or how would God know our hearts? 1 Kings 8:39 says, then hear from heaven your dwelling place, forgive and act, deal with each man according to all he does, since you know his heart, for you alone know the hearts of men. So God does search our heart, and he knows our hearts. And you know, the heart of man is evil. Really, our human nature, our natural tendency is not to please God, is not to praise God, not to know God. Us men, you know, we don't want to raise our hands. We don't want to act like we think it's sissified. I got news for you. David danced before the Lord, and he was no sissy. That's right. That's right. He won so many battles that, you know, Saul was so jealous of him. It doesn't mean, you know, you're weak. If you dance, it means you're freed up to worship. Amen? In spirit and truth, and I love freedom. You know, and this whole country is all of our freedoms that we've enjoyed up to this point have been. I lost my train of thought. Goodness gracious. Have been through the rule of law. You know, we have abandoned our founding fathers in the law that they based the law of this land on the word, on the Torah. And then spiritually, we've abandoned our Hebrew roots, our founding fathers, the very Hebrew roots that brought us the awareness of God. Amen? And what's happened in this country is the judges have set their own laws instead of holding to the law that's already established. Same thing spiritually. We're not looking at the commandments of God, the rule of law that God set in His covenant of the Torah. We are making our own judgments as to what is right and wrong because we think we're so smart. But I got news for you. Wisdom is greater than knowledge. So I don't have no college degree, but I do have some wisdom, and it's only because of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Wisdom is greater than knowledge. Praise God. Now that I've given you all the ills of this nation, the answer is Jesus. So, hallelujah. I'm done. No, just kidding. All right. Woo. Anyway, the hearts of men are wicked unless we are renewed in our mind by the Spirit of God. Amen. Turn to Romans 12, 2 and 3. Romans 12, 2 and 3. We need to be renewed in our mind. You know, God restores, revives, and rebuilds. That's just the opposite of the devil: steal, kill, and destroy. Hallelujah. God does just the opposite. The devil tries to copy some of the things of God. He is so uncreative. But our God, He created the whole world, everything in it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. Psalm 24, 1. And we're talking creation. We're talking, just look at a new baby face, man. Just look into a baby's face. And then tell me there's no God. You can't do it. Romans 12, 2 and 3. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transferred by the renewing of your mind. And I have the next word underlined and made thicker. What do they call that? Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, as I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Haven't we been doing that the first week of Teshuvah, was to look at ourselves and not to think of ourselves too highly? We all have a tendency to want to, you know, think of ourselves highly, but in actuality, the ground at the cross is level. Amen. Yeshua lived on earth with a humble heart, according to Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. It says, I am gentle and humble in heart. I want to be like Yeshua. I want to be gentle and humble in heart. That means a heart that's pliable. Amen. Humble in heart means poor in spirit. Matthew 5, verse 3. Matthew 5 and 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So if we're poor in spirit, we'll have the kingdom. Wait, I thought I had to be real strong in the spirit and cast out demons and do all this fabulous stuff and be a really, you know, the main thing is, folks, is that you have the Spirit of God and no other spirits. Don't leave room for other spirits. Amen. You are to have a spirit that is opposite your natural human nature tendencies, which is a heart after God. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. God despises a proudful heart. That's something to think about. We need to be broken because, you know, we're like that wild stallion. We need to be broken. We need to know where to go, that path. We don't want to take that path. We're a wild stallion. And we don't want to, but anybody riding us, nobody telling us what to do, where to go, or how to get there. But we need to be led by the Spirit of God. Not by, you know, we need that it talks about the tongue being the bit in the horse's mouth. Now, there kind of goes with what I'm saying. This is not in my notes. So I know it's from God. Hallelujah. Besides a broken spirit, we need to have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5. Let's go there. Philippians 2:5. The NIV says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. But the New King James says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. That's just compared with the NIV, the New King James says it a little differently. We need to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, just like His Spirit. The battle for our souls starts in the mind. The Word tells us what to do in 2 Corinthians 10:5. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians 10:5. God tells us what to do. We're not to argue, I know that. The first three words will tell you that. You don't have to get into an argument about the truth because you know it's true. You know, Jesus never really argued. He just told the truth, and He lived the truth. He is the truth. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We must take captive all those things that the devil throws in our minds, those things that I mentioned in page 1, things that distract, distort, or deceive us. Whether it be an object, you know. We are in the information age. There's too much information out there. But God's word really is simple. It's not rocket science. It tells you in Deuteronomy 30 that, you know, that what we believe and the truths we have, they're really simplistic. And but the devil's the one that makes you want to think that it's hard, too hard to follow God. All these things are hard. But God said His yoke was easy, His burden is light. So who are you going to believe? Amen? We must put on the helmet of salvation to protect our thoughts. That's in Ephesians 6:17. You know about the armor of God. You've read that. Take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit. Can't read my own writing. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, that word, that sword has two edges, folks. It cuts going in, cuts coming out. But I tell you what, that kind of operation doesn't leave a lot of scars. It may scar, but then it heals as it goes out the other way. God will cut you, but He will also heal you. Amen? Hallelujah. And we are to put on the garments of Christ and His righteousness. Turn to Romans 13. Romans 13. Romans 13, 11 through 14. And do this, understanding the present time. Let me stop right there. Do you understand the present time? Is not God's word being lived out right in our own news broadcast? I watch Fox News. That's, I think, the best one, but to each their own. But the present time is so obvious. And God told us way ahead of time. He sent His prophets, told us. We have prophets among us that have said things. Are we listening? Remember I said, listen and silent are spelt with the same letters. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Do we believe in Christ coming soon? I do. Because it says in His Word, it's closer. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime. Not in orgies and drunkenness. Not in sexual immorality or debauchery. Not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus the Messiah. Amen. The Anointed One. That's what Christ means.
Yes.
Or HaMashiach. It means the Anointed One. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. That's that ugly heart. Whew. We put on the full armor of God. It's needed in order to be delivered. We need a deliverer. This is what we ask God for in the Our Father prayer in Matthew 6:13. Matthew 6:13 says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." We need that deliverer. We need to know. We need God's strength. We need everything that, if there's any good in me, it comes from the Lord. David said that. There's no good in me. Only what's good is what God in me is what's good. And remember, good is just God extended. Amen. Think of the name God, picture it, and then now look at the word good in your mind and realize that good is just God extended. Amen. I've preached that before. Yes, we are commanded to take dominion, and we do have power in the name and in the blood. But without Yeshua and what He did at Calvary, there would be no power. Revelation 12:11, they overcame Him, meaning the devil. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. You know, when you're full of the Holy Ghost and fire, you're not afraid of anything. You look at the apostles, when they came out of being with Christ, they were bold, with a capital B. And we do not have to fear, you know. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were going to be thrown into the fire, they were bold. They were not afraid. And I tell you what, how many of us looking in the face of fire would not be totally frozen in fear? I pray that God would give us the kind of courage to not look at what we see, but to see in the spirit of what we don't see. Knowing that what we don't see is forever, and it's more powerful, and it's what God has prepared. And I want to enter into the new Jerusalem, the city of God, city of Zion. Amen? Woo! I think about it all the time. Amen. Philippians 1:21. Paul said, "For to me..." Philippians 1:21. I'm probably going too fast. Philippians 1:21. "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You know, it tells you in the Word that in Ecclesiastes, greater is the day of one's death than the day of one's birth.
Right.
Whoa, we ought to have a birthday when we die. We ought to have a party when we die. And there are some funerals down in Louisiana. They have a band going, and they're ushering in knowing to die is gain, amen, when you know God and you have His Holy Ghost power. You have a heart after Him. Hallelujah. Along with the full armor of God, we are to take up our cross and take our positions in battle. He will fight for us and with us in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Romans 8:31. Turn to Romans 8:31. Kind of the second part here. If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. If God is for you, Who can be against us? I'm talking about fear. You know, it says in the Word, I've told you this before too, but I'm going to tell you again. Because you might be like me and have some timers. Which I just now forgot what I was going to tell you. That's pretty funny, actually. No, here's what I was going to tell you. 365 times it tells you to fear not. I was teasing. It tells you to fear not. 365 times. That's one for every day of the year. Hallelujah. So when you get in that, amen, you get that 366, you just start over. Know that God is for us. So who in the world is the devil? Who does he think he is? Who do we think we are? We are born again, bought by the blood, redeemed, priests forever in the order of Melchizedek because of God. We are all the things that God is. We are more than conquerors. We are above and not below. We are all the things that are awesome because we serve an awesome God and He puts us there. Amen. Thank God for His grace that gives us time, gives us mercy to look to Him and comply and be carried up. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 20:17. This is what a scripture that supports what I said, that we are to take up our cross and take our positions in battle. 2 Chronicles 20:17. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go up to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Woo! There it is. You can look the devil right in the face. You have a forehead like flint, and you know who you are in God. You can do a stare down. The devil ain't got a chance. Is that light of God in your eyes? Are you full of the light of God? As it says in the gospel about the light. You know, Gene went to China to minister, and that light in a lot of the people's eyes is not there. But there were lights, very bright lights in the eyes of the Chinese, and they are growing and going closer to the Lord. And there's a revival in China like you would not believe. The underground churches are alive and well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been to China myself when I was in the military. And when I was there, I wasn't thinking about God. I went to the stupid gardens where the Buddhas were and rubbed bellies of Buddhas. I mean, how dumb can you be? Now I have a Buddha belly. Maybe that's why. No, I'm just kidding. I'm losing my Buddha belly. Hey, you know what? I'm on the level because my bubble's in the middle. So just remember that. All right. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 20:17. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance. Hallelujah. Turn to Luke 9, please. Luke 9:23. Oh, I told Barbara, the nurse, that. She says she's going to use it in the surgery center. Next time a big fat guy like me is sitting up on that, laying up on that table, she'll say, well, he must have a real balanced life. And they'll say, well, why do you say that, Barbara? Because his bubble's in the middle. She told me she's going to use it. You know they talk about us when we're knocked out. Come on, we're not stupid. We weren't born. We might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night. Amen. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You know, there's other scriptures that talk about taking up your cross, but in this Luke 9:23, it's the only one that I saw that said daily. And we need to take up our cross daily, not just during Teshuvah, not just during the the high holy days or the holy days. We need to take up our cross. You know, but it's not, God's carrying it with us. We're in that yoke together with Yeshua. His, you know, we don't want to be that wild stallion while the one's trying to go straight, the other one's trying to pull him the other way, you know. We are yoke fellows. We're supposed to be in the work of God, going straight ahead, getting it done, not looking back, but looking forward. And we look forward to His kingdom. Amen. So don't buck up. Don't be that ox that wants to go left when we're going straight. Amen. I've done that though. I'm guilty. I stand guilty. One man that had trials of the mind against those whose hearts were not right toward God was Job. How many of you read the book of Job? There's one guy told me one time, the book of Job. I'm serious. Okay. Even his own wife questioned his mind and purpose not to get angry at God. In Job 2:9, his wife said to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." Wow. Of course, I've known some wives that have said that to their husbands. Just the second part, die. But that's pretty tough there. That's someone that's supposed to be a helpmeet. And she's saying, curse God and die, but he kept his integrity. Amen? Now that's a mind after, that's a made up mind. That's a mind in concrete of the Creator. Amen? When I get my mind right, I want God to just freeze it right there. Because we have a tendency to forget and let the devil talk to us. Amen? Job had opposition from everywhere, but he kept talking to God. Job 10:13. Job said, "But this is what you concealed in your heart. I know that this was in your mind." You know, Job was talking to God in this passage. I didn't realize when I first read it. He was talking to God. He was telling God that he knew this was in God's mind. What does that mean? That means he had the mind of Christ. You know, I know Jean pretty well. A lot of times I know what she's thinking. And I'm not God, not even close. But I tell you what, God, you know, Job had a mind that was like the Lord's, amen? And he was full of integrity. Job was talking to God. Job had a mind like that of his Maker. That gave him a heart like that of God. So you got to get this right first. That little journey, about 13 inches from your head to your heart, is the longest journey there is. So, when you got it right, keep it in your safety deposit box, your heart. Amen. Moving on to maturity of mind is continually seeking the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 13:11. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. You know, we are to be childlike, but not childish. You know, God says that unless you are like a child, you will not enter in the kingdom of heaven. We get old, we get hard of heart, we think we know it all, we think we've learned everything. I know what I know about God. Come on, quit talking to me, Coleman. I know about God. Who do you think I am? No, the question is, who do you think you are? Title of this message, give them this tape, the CD. You get know someone that, you know, and this is scary, but I knew a pastor that actually told his congregation that his people were perfect. Just because it said somewhere in the Bible that you are perfect, or be perfect, You know what? All that means is you're made whole. That it's like a wedding ring. It's no start, no ending. That's who God is. He has no start. He has no end. It's like a wedding ring. That's what the Sabbath is, by the way. Amen? It's a wedding ring. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The saying, good in and good out. Evil in, evil out, is how the mind works. Our mind stayed on Him is the key. We can have peace when we have a mind stayed on Him. Turn to Isaiah 26:3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Amen. A steadfast mind is a mind stayed on God, because the New King James Version of verse 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. Amen. We need to be stayed in our mind. We need to have the mind of Christ, and once it's in, boy, lock it up. But cast out, demolish every argument, every pretension that sets us up against the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Romans 13:14 tells us to rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of your stinking sinful nature. I put the stinking in there. The desires of your sinful nature. Because our natural nature is not good without God. We are told what to fill our minds with in Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8 tells us what to think on. And I know this has been read by me, and I know by many others to us. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Once our minds are in the right place, our hearts will follow. We are hungry hearts. A heart like David is our goal, even though David was not perfect. You know, he was quick to teshuvah. He was quick to repent. That's a gift to have conviction and be drawn back. And to have the conviction to, hey, wait a minute, this ain't right. It don't feel right. I've heard people say, don't feel right in my spirit. And they have no idea what that means. But I do. We do. He was quick to teshuvah. And he pleased God. You know, the Bible said that he pleased God. And that's what we all want to do. Amen? We are encouraged when we see how imperfect David was. But yet David had victory. That means though we are imperfect and have messed up not once, not twice, not three times, but have messed up a lot. That's why we take up the cross daily. That's why we get in the Word daily. That's why we talk to God to have a relationship to keep us. Amen. Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. When we're weak, God is made strong in us. Because we need to get to the end of ourselves. Because then we'll find God. Because He is always with us. He's ever present. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient and omnipotent. He's got it all. Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And it's perfect. It's round. It's perfect. When I was a young Catholic, the thought of God always was and always will be. I thought about that a lot. I had a precious nun that taught me this word. She said, He always was and always will be. And I pondered that in my mind. But you know what? We're not going to figure it out. We can't. That's where our faith comes in. We can't figure out everything about God, because His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, as the heavens are from the earth. If we could understand that, we would be God. And it ain't going to happen. We might have the mind of Christ. We might have the spirit of Christ. But we will never be our God. We just want to be like Him. We want to emulate Him. We want to do what He did. We want to go to the feast days. We want to be at the Sabbath and bring God's Word. Amen? Hallelujah. Did I finish that scripture in Philippians? Whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Yeah, I did. Once our minds are in the right place, our hearts will follow. 2 Timothy 1:7. Let's go there. 2 Timothy 1:7. Did God give us a bold spirit? Are we supposed to just have it and be totally humble, weak, and never really speak up? No. 2 Timothy 1:7. You know, there's a time and a season for everything under the sun. You read that in Ecclesiastes. There's time to get mad. There's time to dance. There's time to cry. There's time to do everything. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Amen? Self-discipline, my friends, in the New King James Version says a sound mind.
Hallelujah.
Amen. A sound mind is a self-controlled mind. Self-control is one of the gifts of the Spirit, listed in Galatians 5, 22 through 25. Let's go ahead and read that. Galatians 5, 22 through 25. These are the gifts that is in us when Christ is in us. But the fruit of the Spirit. You know, if you have the Spirit of God, it's going to produce some good stuff. And like that song, Shaking, 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 that we did earlier, God's going to shake your fruit tree. See how mature your fruit is, the things you produce. Are you rooted in Christ, or are you like a bamboo? And not a bamboo, like it says in the parable of the sower, your roots are not thick, not going down deep enough. Yeah. Galatians 5, 22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's listed first because God is love. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There it is. Self-control. That's a sound mind. That's a self-disciplined mind. Amen? Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's Galatians 22. Galatians 5, 22 through 25. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Hallelujah. Our sinful nature, we will not try to satisfy it, but we will try to be like Christ. All of us are looking forward to these fall holy days. They are going to be glorious because God is glorious. And He will be with us. And He will be with each and every one of us individually to have an encounter with Him, because He is continually looking and taking care of us. Amen? We are full of the Holy Ghost and fire. We are humbled as we see the awesomeness of our God and His love poured out. Amen. I thank God that you all teshuvah this month. That our first feast day coming up is trumpets. And hallelujah. One day we will hear that Tekiah Hagatalah, the great trump. Amen. Hallelujah. Trump of God will sound. You know, He will bring us the new heaven and new earth. That's our real kingdom. We're in temporary dwellings. That's why we set up a sukkot at Tabernacles, to show that we are in temporary dwelling here on earth. As Jesus said, His home is not here on earth. Amen. His kingdom is not of this earth. We will be in that kingdom. I'm excited. And we're going to be so close to that kingdom at the feast. And it could happen at one of these feasts, you know. A lot of people believe, and it's supported in Scripture, that trumpets is a time when the rescue will probably most likely happen. But I'm not giving you any dates. I'm just telling you. God honors His holy days. He sets the heavens in a certain way that we can recognize the time and know the day. Amen? The devil has taken things of the heavens and messed it up. But the thing, God created the heavens to tell us things. And so it's not bad. Depends on what you know. Praise the Lord. God, I thank You for this word today. I thank You that You are an awesome God that provides all we need for life. You are all in all, an awesome God. We look forward to meeting with You. And I thank You that You made the Sabbath for man and not man for the Sabbath. And Your Sabbath is also Your holy days. And I thank God that we have an appointment with El Elyon, the Most High God. I thank You, Lord, for all that You're going to do, all that You're doing right now in this body of hungry hearts. Bless You and keep You in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you all. I love you. Bye.